I heard one firm sought you out for their lobby because they wanted to look like one of the big firms.
Yes, that's actually happened more than once. Got a call from London, and we're opening a VC office on Sand Hill Road. And everywhere we've gone, we've seen your landscapes and your cameraless images. Would you be willing to do our office?
I'm Scott McGrew. Welcome to Sand Hill Road.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There's a little bistro not far from Sand Hill Road called the Village Pub. In fact, it's right next door to the venture capital firm Defy Ventures. And it's a place where those who work in venture capital tend to find themselves for lunch, either in the main dining area or in the private boardroom. And in that boardroom, there are pictures on the wall of hills and trees. The pictures are hard to describe. They're almost like X-rays. Now, there's a very similar photograph in the lobby of Abingworth Life Sciences.
Thank you for calling the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation. How can I help?
And you'll notice one when you're at the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, or the Rosewood Hotel, or the lobby of all kinds of venture firms on Sand Hill Road. And you start to think, I bet the same artist is behind all of these.
And that's you, right?
That's correct.
And who are you?
Well, I am Robert Biltemann. I was raised in the town of Woodside back when most of the roads were dirt. Family moved there in 1954 and grew up in the neighborhood and watched the birth of Silicon Valley from the front seat.
This week on Sand Hill Road, inside the studio and darkroom of Robert Biltemann, longtime photographer who takes more than just a photograph. Wired magazine called him the bizarre union between Georgia O'Keeffe and Dr. Frankenstein.
Let's take the photograph Bougainvillea. You remember it?
Yes.
Obviously, you can't see it, but it's amazing. It's a picture of flowers, yes, but flowers like they've been blended with stained glass, with delicate halos around each leaf and petal.
Halo. Describe to me what that looks like and why you photographed it that way.
Sure. And the first thing I would say about it, it's not actually a picture of. In the tradition of photography, your eyes, the camera is a substitute for your eyes, perceiving something and you have a way of recording it. These are actually the tracings of the energy and light given by the plant. These images, Bougainvillea specifically, is a camera, lens, and computer-free image. No cameras, no lenses, no computers. It's done here in the studio by taking a living plant, in this case, the Bougainvillea I planted 15 years ago outside our bedroom, taking a section of it and placing it on an 8x10-inch piece of film, passing high-voltage electricity through it, 80,000 volts of current, and then hand-painting the subject as it lays on the film with a fiber optic probe about the size of a human hair.
So when you say energy, because at first that sounded kind of hippy-dippy, right?
Right. I'm talking,
you're talking 80,000
volts of electricity. Yes, and every plant has a different kind of energy signature as defined by what shows up on film as a result of this high voltage discharge from my hand-built Tesla coils. This is my device here in all its glory and all its Rube Goldberg glory.
Yeah, I'm going to try to describe it. It's two boxes that look sort of like a 1960s stereo. It's got a number of knobs on it, and then there's a glass plate that has a leaf on it.
That's right. This is a piece of sheet metal that has a spark plug cable welded to the back of it, identical to the spark plug cable under the hood of your car.
When you see a painting by Hopper or Jackson Pollock, you know them when you see them, even if, you know, somebody who's not well-versed in art can't exactly explain why they know, oh, I know that artist. What am I looking for with your art where I can say, yep, Robert did that?
My work presents the stuff of life, nature, in a way that is reflective of the divinity that I see in nature. It was here before humans were. It will be here after we're gone, which may happen sooner than any of us ever expected. And that's what the work is about.
You've been very successful with your art. We're sitting in your very lovely home in a very well-organized, very well-equipped studio. Did you ever expect to be that successful? And is there ever a conflict between success and art?
Yes, there is. There's a great many of them. Part of being successful in this world, in a capitalist society, requires the earning of money. And there is tension. There's the starving artist syndrome. But for myself, that all changed. I've always made photographs for as long as I've been an adult. And I do it for the joy of it. But there was a moment where I recognized that it was all right to succeed, that I didn't need to suffer. I'm not against suffering, but I'm for short suffering, not long suffering. And a lot of suffering is optional. And when I saw that a lot of my own suffering, that I had a hand in it, I let go of that and decided to let the work, to give the work its own life. Even now, the work has a life above and beyond me. I feel like I'm a very small player in this and that it's the work that wanted to happen. It's achieved heights and levels of success that if it were up to Rob Biltemann, it may never have attained. So part of it's just getting out of the way and letting the work find its own audience.
That Robert had that particular gift also caught the attention of legendary venture capitalist Bill Davidow, who became Robert's patron.
We had pretty much run out of money, and I had a client here to pick up work who quite by accident saw some of the first pieces of film. And she introduced me to Bill, and Bill showed up to the book signing, and he and his wife offered to support my family for a year. A man I had not met, so that I could pursue this vision, this dream. And, it changed my life. It changed the way I show up for myself. And as every artist will tell you, that's where the rubber meets the road, who you are for yourself. That's what allows artists to continue to paint, to continue to sculpt when they're denied exhibitions and they're denied commercial success. It's their relationship with themselves and their love of their work. And that's what my relationship with Bill and Sonia Davidow changed for me. And they remain dear friends to this day.
It's not something you can pay back.
No, it's not. I have spent a lot of time these 20 years thinking, what can I do? And of course, ultimately, you realize that people who are kind to that degree, they're not doing it for any other reason than the joy of the generosity that they are. and that they express in the world.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It is an interesting specialty you have because you're in lobbies of offices and venture capital firms up and down Sand Hill Road, Kleiner Perkins, Accel. I heard one firm, and we don't have to name it necessarily, sought you out for their lobby because they wanted to look like one of the big firms.
Yes, that's actually happened more than once. Got a call from London, and we're opening a VC office on Sand Hill Road. And everywhere we've gone, we've seen your landscapes and your cameraless images. Would you be willing to do our office? And of course, I think every artist dreams of that kind of opportunity because I can go in and say, oh, for the lobby, we should do this because this is a welcoming image. And then in the CEO's office, we should do something edgy and write up the whole proposal and they sign off on it. And, you know, that's...
So how did that start? I mean, how did you become the venture capital office artist?
That's a very good question. You know, in the 1970s, I started a business that did corporate art installations of photography. At the time, I was an employee of the Image Bank, which back in 1977 was the largest stock photography company in the world. So the company could say to me, well, we're, for instance, American President lines, and we ship all over the world. So we want something from Thailand, and we want something from Hong Kong. And I could gather those images, present them, and then actually make the prints. What they didn't know at the time, this was in my early to mid-20s, I didn't have the confidence in my work. So I would slip my slides in with these 20-slide sheets, as we used to work with film. And I was amazed at how many times people picked my work from among the greatest photographers in the world. And it made me realize that I had a particular gift for this. So that's where it started. Office in the Ice House, selling corporate art to companies in San Francisco. And it's just evolved since then. The other side of that is that having been raised in Woodside, my first serious job, I was a bag boy at Roberts of Woodside. And over the 3 or 4 years I was in college, high school, I knew every single family in Woodside. So when my first monograph came out in 1995, The Unseen Peninsula, we sold 4,500 books in 11 months expensive books too, printed in Italy. It won awards all over the country. You simply cannot discount growing up in an area of affluence where people have the means and the desire to support art that celebrates my home, the San Francisco Peninsula.
If you haven't seen the San Francisco Peninsula, the area between San Francisco and Silicon Valley, you may have the wrong picture in your head of what that part of California looks like. It's not like Los Angeles, a day's drive to the south. The high-tech hub of the world contains rolling hills and reservoirs and forests. Even Sand Hill Road becomes surprisingly rural. Drive west past Andreessen Horowitz and the Rosewood Hotel, and it's nothing but mountains after that. Perfect for a nature photographer.
Describe to somebody, again, who's listening to this in a different country, perhaps, what it looks like here. The areas that you photograph, the areas around Woodside, the areas around Sand Hill Road.
Rolling hills, redwood forests, oak tree grottos. When we're lucky, steelhead in the creeks, both on my side of the hill, I live on the coast, and also the area where I grew up over the hill. Stanford's making great strides towards reintroducing steelhead to San Francisco Creek. People that live here love nature. And so having been born here and having been the son of a man who grew up in the woods of Michigan and his first love was always the land, it's fairly easy work to inspire people to and encourage them to acquire my work and look at my books and so on.
A bit of irony or a bit of a cruel trick on nature that it gave you Lyme disease.
Yes. I'm 14 years into this now and now disabled. I still make all my own prints. I still go out in the field and shoot from time to time. And I'm one of the lucky ones. From 2007 through 2018, I was unable to work. And what I was talking about earlier, I wasn't waxing poetic about the work finding an audience. My work is what has allowed my wife and I to stay in this beautiful home, as I haven't been able to work full time in a very long time. And I've had, 30, 40, 50 tick bites in my life, but apparently I got one in 2005 or six that went undetected and had five doctors that misdiagnosed my illness. And by the time they discovered what the cause was, the Lyme had gotten into my spinal column and brain and done some significant damage. There were many years where I thought about regret. Do I regret that? Do I regret having spent 100 days a year?
That was going to be my question. Camped. Are you angry? Yes, at nature.
Camped. Yes. Under the stars.
Nature. I was doing such a good job of showing you off.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But no, I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change a thing. I feel like now that I'm approaching 70, that I've achieved the wisdom of someone older because I've had a lot of time to think about death and the despair that comes with losing your mental capacities. There was a time I couldn't recognize my own children. And so life is very sweet for me now. It was sweet before, but now when I wake up in the morning, what a blessing just to be here. And for me, that's real power.
The artist Robert Biltemann, whose work can be seen in the lobbies of Kleiner Perkins, Accel, KKR, Stanford Medical Center, Genentech, Xerox Park, and many others. Robert mentioned the legendary venture capitalist Bill Davidow. In his retirement, Bill has been pondering the future of jobs and whether the government ought to pay Americans for work that until now went unpaid.
Hold on, that sounds almost a bit socialist, which is funny coming from a famous venture capitalist.
Well, all right, but here I am. I'm almost 85, and suppose that my kids spend a lot of time taking care of me as opposed to putting me in some institutionalized home. Are they zero economic value people because they did that?
Dollars-wise?
Yes.
Yeah, they are. Value-wise, of course not.
That conversation with Bill Davidow, pioneering venture capitalist, next week on Sand Hill Road. Sand Hill Road is produced by Sean Myers under the leadership of Sarah Bueno and Stephanie Adruni. For more interviews with Silicon Valley's most influential entrepreneurs, check me out on TV at Press Here. That's Sunday mornings on NBC Bay Area and everywhere in the world on iTunes and at PressHereTV.com.